I want you to take it and go with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And before you got here, me and the pastor done talk. You already are already standing. Appreciate that. He said, if anybody falls asleep, we're going to charge $28.99. And if we got to pull out a pillow and a blanket, it goes up to $59.99. We're still probably the cheapest in Bowden, amen. But we're going to charge, amen. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse number 37. Verse number 37, when you're there in your Bible, somebody give the Lord a good amen. Luke chapter 19. Verse number 37, the Bible says, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a little voice. If your Bible say a little voice, you got a Queen James, you ain't got no King James, amen. Bible said they rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty words that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. I like what Jesus said. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for the day that you've given us. Another opportunity, Lord, to come into your house. Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, this evening I'm glad I don't have to come, Lord, but I get to come. As the man spoke earlier, Lord, we are not worthy to walk through these doors, Lord, but we thank you for being so good to sinners. Lord, if there's anyone who in our midst who walked in discouraged, oh, Father, I pray they'll leave encouraged. If anyone, Lord, walked in this evening defeat, I pray, oh, Father, to leave in victory. If anyone walked in lost, Father, I pray they'll leave saved before it's eternally too late. And all that you do for us, through us and with us, we'll thank you, we'll praise you for all that you do. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all the Lord's people said, you may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So Jesus is coming in and his disciples are praising him and worshiping him. And the Pharisees said, Lord, tell them to hold their peace. And he says, if I tell them to hold their peace, he said, the rocks will cry out. Now, you and I heard this many a times. We don't want no rocks to praise God for us. So I come this evening with some backup. If you don't praise God, I got some backup who's going to praise God with me and for God. Amen. Well, I thank God I bought me some backup. He said, if you and I don't praise Him, the rocks are going to cry out. I wish somebody would say, okay, let's hear what the rocks would have to say. Boy, I guarantee if these rocks could talk in your Bible, I want you to take it. Is it okay if we use our Bible this evening? If you turn fast, listen fast, I'll preach fast, and we're going to get a Subway sandwich, amen. I want you to take your Bible, turn me to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. There's a lot in our Bible that talks about rocks. They were at rocks, on rocks. And in Genesis 28, I want you to go with me to verse number 11. Genesis 28. This is Jacob's rock. And Genesis 28, and verse number 11. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, angels of God ascending and descending. Now jump down with me to verse number 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone and he had that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. I'm that stone, he said. I was there when God gave Jacob that dream. And this is him talking, not me. I was there when Jacob took that oil and poured it on top of me because he believed God was going to deliver in that dream. And he said, I've come, if you ain't going to say nothing about it, I've come to remind you and let you know that we serve a God who still is a way maker. Hey, if you ever have a dream, we sitting in the dream here tonight. God put a vision in Brother Ken's heart where we sit where Liberty Baptist Church is preached. And look, we still serve a God who comes through with the dreams that He's spoken in our heart. I want to tell you something. Some of you here this evening, God, you praying for your grandchildren to get saved. Maybe a spouse to get saved. Maybe for a grandchild to get saved. This phone said, I'm here to testify and let you know God's put it in your heart and God will bring it to pass. And the stone said, if you ain't going to testify about it, he said, I will. And the stone's going to cry out. In Genesis 28. Then, in your Bible, in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. I kind of put them in order. Numbers chapter 20. Verse number 1 in Numbers chapter 20. So somebody said, where did the preacher preach on tonight? He said, he went from Genesis all the way to Revelations, amen. Genesis chapter 20 and verse number 1. The Bible says, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into, notice this, the desert of Zin. In the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there, and was buried. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now look with me at verse number 11. He goes on, and Moses lifted up his hand. And with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank and their beasts also. This rock said, I was there. When they were walking with that preacher, and they were so thirsty, they got mad at the preacher. And he took his rod out. And instead of hitting the people, he hit me. And when he struck me, deep down on the inside, something started flowing. Something started bubbling. And out of me came some living water. I don't know about you. You could go back to a time and a place in your life where you were thirsty, looking for something, but didn't realize you needed someone, not something. And Jesus came by and He saved you and He put inside of you a well of living water. John chapter 4, He said, in thee or is a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. I'm glad to know not only does Jesus save us, He seals us, and then He satisfies. Amen. And if you and I don't testify and cry out and let a lost and dying world know that Jesus says, the rocks are going to cry out and testify for you and me. Numbers, He said, I was that rock that Moses hit. Now I want you to turn me to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. In verse number 20. In Joshua chapter 6, verse number 20. If you're there in your Bible, somebody say amen. This is what the Bible says in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Did I say it right? Joshua chapter 6, verse number 20. I told y'all 26, huh? Joshua chapter 6, verse number 20. It said, so the people did what? Shout, boy, there's a lot of praise in our Bible. We got more right to praise God than to keep quiet, amen. The Bible says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The rock says, I was there when Joshua and his army walked around the wall 7 times. And when they obeyed God, boy, they were shouting, they were blowing those trumpets. And when they walked around, I felt a shake inside of me, a quake underneath me, and the wall came down. I'm here to testify to you this evening to let you know that walls still fall. He is, do I believe that? Up on top of this hill. You know the story. Those walls fell, amen. That fire took it because there were some praying people up in Liberty Baptist Church and the walls still fall. There will be opposition in your life. There will be discouragement in your life. There will be times people or even yourself say, I can't do it. There ain't no way I could do it. I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't witness. But I'm here to testify and let you know that the walls of discouragement, depression, they still fall. That's what this rock tells. That the walls still can fall. I got another rock. You say, how many you got? The pastor got a lot in this bed. Amen. I was there all night. I got this out of my flower bed. I want you to turn me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 40. And David, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag. And when he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Now I want you to go to verse number 49. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So say, I'm here to testify to you this evening that giants still fall. Giants still fall. There are big giants in your life, big giants in my life, but the stone cries out and reminds you and me to know that giants still fall. He said, but I want you to go back with me. You see, David went and he chose 5 smooth stones. He said, I'm smooth. But I wasn't always this way. I used to be a rough stone. Oh, my temper, my anger, my sin. Oh, I was rough. I had some rough edges. I can't explain it. I guarantee you, you're probably thinking that you're sitting down, man, you know what? One day, I think I'm going to go to church. I want to tell you something. Long before you ever thought about it, God was trying to draw you and pull you. I wish I could explain it, but I can't. I don't know how I wound up in the brook. I don't know how, but I thank God that I did. And boy, I thank God that that water began to flow over me. It started knocking off some rough edges. Some of you are thinking, man, God, I don't know why I'm going through this, why I'm experiencing this. God got you in a place in a brook, and he's knocking off those rough edges to make you smooth. Because one day, you ain't always going to be in the brook, because a shepherd going to come by. Now, this is my story. For 7 years, I was going to a dead, dry church. I didn't know what to do, but I know God was dealing with me and calling me to do something big for him. And boy, he was bothering me and stirring in my heart. And one day, I met a guy in Pascagoula, Mississippi, told me to go to Baton Rouge. Brother Caleb Lindsay told me to go to Baton Rouge to a camp meeting. And I was only gone Monday and Tuesday, but when I heard my man of God preach, he was my man of God back then. We went in the back, got something to eat, and the shepherd came by. He picked me up. Now that's my story. But this is our story. One day, we fell in the brook, but the good shepherd come by, and he picked us up, And boy, he put us in a sling. He's like, oh God, I don't know, what are you doing with my life? Should I stay? Should I go? Hey, I'm just so confused in this thing. And he's winding us up. And one day, he led us out of that sling to slay giants. I want to tell you why you're in here. Because our kids are fighting giants that you and I need to slay. Our grandchildren are fighting giants that you and I need to slay. And you may not think God will use you, but God is going to use you. He's still using you now where you are. And thank God you and I need to cry out and testify. Thank God. And we once was rough, but he knocked off those rough edges. He chose a smooth stone. He said, I'm here to testify to you tonight that giants still fall. Just go back. Let's go back like maybe 20 years. Some of y'all are probably in church 20 years. Go back a little further then. If you pulled out that old photo album, some of y'all probably like Sonny and Cher, Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn. Me and my wife, we'd be like the urban cowboy, Buddy and Sissy. That's what we would look like. And boy, you look at those pictures. What you was holding. The places those pictures was taken. Well, thank God we ain't there anymore. Thank God we ain't there anymore. We was rough. Had some rough edges. But boy, we got in the place that had some living water. And God knocked those rough edges off. Only, why do you think God, hey, sometimes you say, I don't know why I'm going through this. Why did I have to go through that? God's, because it's only for you to help somebody else that's going to go through it. I want to tell you something. You know what I found out in 2004 when I surrendered my whole heart to Jesus? I found out sometimes the things that I go through, it ain't even for me. It's to help somebody else down the road. And you know what? I ain't taking no directions from nobody. If I wanted to learn how to ride a motorcycle, I ain't going to somebody who never rode one before. I want to talk to somebody who's been on it, knows, hey, don't act a fool on it, and this is the things you need to watch out for. I want to talk to somebody who's been through it. And sometimes you scratch your head, I don't know why I'm going through this. That's why somebody's coming up behind you and saying, could you share with me? What did you do? And God's done that. Knocked off those rough edges and made you smooth. You know why? There's some giants that you and I are going to help people slay. If the rocks, if you and I don't testify, the rocks will. David, not only he had a rock, now I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. If you're looking for it to go any deeper than that, man, you're in bad shape. That's all I got, y'all. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. In verse number 3, this is the maniac of Gadara. In Mark chapter 5, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains have been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a little voice. Cried with a loud voice that says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He said, I was there in the tombs when that maniac would use me. This amazed me. I found this in my flower bed. Look at this thing.
Yes. Sharp.
Straight for the wrist. Sometimes we think, how did he cut himself with a rock? I didn't do this. I found this in my flower bed like this. This happened over 2,000 years ago. I don't know if it's bad over here, but you'd be amazed. I sat in my church with two girls, 11 and 12 years old, with marks. Demonic. devil is still running rapid where you and I live. You know what got me? The Bible says that maniac. Now, you need to help me out on this. I tried Googling it, but they say legion is from anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 devils. That's what that man was possessed with. But when he seen Jesus, the Bible says he ran and did what? Worship. Made me scratch my head. Because I walk in the church, see people saved by the grace of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and ain't nobody praising God. And this man is possessed with 6,000 to 3,000 demons, and he seen Jesus and he ran and started worshiping Him. What happened? This man is possessed, and he's praising God. We claim to be set free, made free by the blood of Jesus, and ain't nobody praising God in the day and age we live in. I scratched my head about that. Then I found something else strange. If you ain't gonna believe me, I gotta show you this. In verse number, let's see what it's 13. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into swine, one of those pigs. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, where there were about 2,000, and they were choked. Notice this. Where they were choked at? In the sea. They ran off a steep place. They ran off a hill. The hill didn't kill them. The sea killed them. In John chapter 7, verse 38, he said, "He that believeth on me, inside of him, out of his belly will flow streams of living water." You know why it's so important we praise God and we have services like we had this morning? The demons and devils can't stand that, because that's where the river is flowing through. That's where the water is coming through. They love dead, dry churches. It's the water that kills them. That's why that word of God is so powerful and so strong. That word is alive. That word is the water of life springing up into everlasting life. And if you and I have a dead and dry church, you know what we could be filled with? Demonic devils. It says, "I'm here to testify. I was there when that maniac was cutting himself. They tried to bind him, but Jesus came. One day he walked on the shore, and he came to where that man was. And that man recognized who Jesus was, fell at Jesus' feet, and I seen Jesus take a man that was possessed and put him clothed and in his right mind and send him home to his friends. He wanted to go with Jesus after Jesus had made the difference in his life. Jesus said, "Go to your house and go to your friends. Tell them the good things I've done for you." And you know what he did? He went down to his house and told them everything what Jesus had done for him. When's the last time you told somebody what Jesus has done for you? He said, "I was there." You know another thing he said? "You know what I seen? That man was cutting himself. He was all scarred up. He was battered and bruised. And I'm here to testify and let you know tonight that Jesus still could use people with scars." Aren't you glad about that? Boy, we've been down. We've been beat, battered and bruised, but Jesus still used you and me. He said, if you and I don't cry out, the rocks will. I want you to take your Bible, go with me to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, in verse number 3. "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, 'Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act.' Now Moses in the law commanded us, such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" You know the Ten Commandments was a stone too, huh? He says, I've been waiting on this day and this time to talk. I found this in my little flower bed. And I'm like, this is a good stone to use. Because what's one thing you notice about this stone that you don't notice about the other ones? The colors, right? You know, the Holy Ghost began to preach to me, and my ungodly heart, and my ungodly soul, we always so fast to see the toothpick in somebody else's eye, and we got a telephone pole in our own eye. He said, you want me to tell you something? If you don't want to help nobody, you don't want to do nothing for nobody, don't throw them at the feet of Jesus. Because you know what Jesus do to people? Bad people. Lost people, people that have been down in the gutter. You know what Jesus is? He said, I was there. Oh, those Pharisees had me in the chokehold. They were chokeholding me. He said, but I seen Jesus to tell her, go and not sin less. He said, sin no more. He said, you know what I'm here to tell? To hear to testify to you tonight? Sin ain't your friend. It thrills, but it kills. It fascinates, but it assassinates. He said, I'm ready to tell you, but if you all get thrown at the feet of Jesus, He'll pick you up, dust you off, and give you a brand new start. How many people in the church house tonight would thank God that He gave us a brand new start? Jesus did something when they threw that woman at His feet. The Bible said He knelt down. Well, I'm glad He ain't scared to get down with sinners. And the Bible say He scribbled on the ground. I don't know what He wrote. Don't kick me out. But He probably said, Pharisee number one, Red Roof Inn. Pharisee number two, Motel 6. And He went all the way down the list. All the way down the list. And He said, let him without sin. And they dropped. And they fell. So, I'm here to testify that Jesus will pick us up and give us a brand new start. Now, I want you to take your Bible, go with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. When you're there in your Bible, somebody say amen. The Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had been prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. You know why they didn't find the body? The body wasn't there, amen. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and said, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you? When He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He said, preacher, where's your stone for that? I am that stone, amen. You ask me how I know He lives? Because He lives deep inside my heart. I thank God, hey, that He died for our sins. He shed His precious blood. But on the third and glorious day, He rose again. And because He lives, you and I can live. I like that old hymnal that says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Why? Because He lives. All fear is gone. Why? Because I know. He holds the future. And life is what? Worth the what? Just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives. You know why you and I can make it? Because Jesus lives. You know what verse number 8 says? Look with me in verse number 8 and I'm through. And they remembered His words. You know everything we talked about tonight? All the scripture we done went through and seen how Jesus came through. Jesus don't love them more than He loves me and you. I'm glad He loves His children. And what He's done for them, He'll do for me and you. That old song said, ain't no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. But you know what's our biggest problem? We forget. We forget. And you know what the Bible says in verse number 8? And they remembered His words. Before you and I hit the doors, guess what the devil's trying to do to you and me? Make us forget. Make us forget. You know why? If we forget what that Bible says, it's your stage. I'm sweating like T.D. Jakes up here, y'all. I like it though. We'll get in a stage of depression, discouragement, and you and I will wonder, will God ever use me? Will He ever bring me through? I found out, like what my pastor said when I was talking to a brother earlier, when I met him in 2010, I remember every sermon, like yesterday. First night, preached on, what do you do when you're locked up in a storm? What will you do when the horsemen come? If you can't pray now, he said, how are you going to pray later? If it's hard for you to come to church now, how hard will it be for you to come later? Tuesday night, what will you do when the horsemen come? Wednesday night, when they're throwing rocks at you. And Thursday night, preach four nights, how to get your strength back. I wear that thing out. Because you know what I find out in a lot of our Christian lives? Because we forget the words of God, we lose our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. I got a Bible reader, Nehemiah 8:10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we don't praise Him, we ain't got no joy, how we expect to be strong? I'll say this, because you know what? The storms are coming. Storms are coming. You know what I found out? I say this. Well, sometimes you just can't quit. You just got to cut it off. Amen. You walk into the doctor's office. And this is us. Boy, when we get saved, we want the pathway smooth like this, like a bed of roses. But if you walk and look at the monitor where they plug it to the people's heart, if you see a straight line, what that mean? Dead. But if you see hills and valleys, means life. I know we're going to have storms. I know we're going to have dark times. He said this locked up in the storm. I'd rather go through the storm with Him than without Him. Pastor, you come. Thank you.